Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Montgomery acknowledged that Coach Mike McCarthy said you take a knee.
Take a knee!
Montgomery said, and Montgomery did not talk to reporters after the game on Sunday.
He talked yesterday.
Yes, he said, I made a split-second decision. I don't know if this is going to land on the goal line, so I'm not going to take
a
knee on the...
He's 3 yards deep!
So I'm not going to take a knee on the goal line and the half-yard line and take a chance at putting the game in the ref's hands. Unfortunately...
Look at your feet! Look where your feet are!
Where are you on the field at the particular moment
you're
you catch the ball?
You're in the end zone! The colors are different.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All right, we are live at Chatter. We are at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue and Jennifer Streets Northwest in Friendship Heights. It is Halloween. Chatter is offering good things for you and your children. We have candy for the children. We have face painting for the children, hot chocolate for the children, spiked cider for the adults.
Ooh, nice.
We'll have a tent outside because it's going to be a very beautiful night. It's going to start probably around 6 o'clock. We invite you all to Chatter tonight for Halloween on your way to other things. Hot chocolate, spiked cider, candy, face painting. Face painting. I will not be doing face painting.
Not going to do that.
I'm not going to have my face painted, nor am I going to paint your child's face or your face. I'm not going to do that. That is your particular issue, not mine. But we will have professional face painters here, and by that I mean whoever's working.
Andrew Bubis.
This was my neighborhood growing up. This was my trick-or-treat neighborhood. I lived right nearby. And that sounds lovely, and I'm sure it's appropriate for today's world.
Yes.
But back in my day, that would have just slowed us down.
Right, because you were,
we were on the run.
You wanted candy.
We had to cover ground.
Yeah, no, as much as you could get to keep for days and weeks.
But it's a different world.
It is, it is. Mm-hmm. Halloween is tonight here, Thursday night football tomorrow night. We are not on Friday. We are on here today, Wednesday, tomorrow, Thursday. We are not on Friday. I have to have dental surgery. Everybody you say that to says, oh, like they have actual pain in their mouths when you tell them you have to have this done. And that sort of referred pain doesn't cut it for me.
Right. You know,
just say good luck or say it'll be fine. Don't worry about
Oral surgeon have small hands?
I have no idea.
It's important.
Well, it's a woman.
He's got a pretty big mouth.
Okay. No, it's a woman.
Yeah, she's terrific.
Dr. Mashenko. Okay.
Yeah, Dr. Mashenko. Yeah, she took care of me important. And you'll be in great shape.
Sounds like a character from The Americans.
Dr. Mashenko, absolutely. Yeah.
Dr. Anastasia Mashenko.
Nigel is here to produce the show, to run the board, to do the news. Gary Braun is here. Gene McManus is here. Michael Kornheiser is here. We will have Barry Zwerluga on after this segment, and I don't want to do only Maryland in this segment, but we need to begin with Maryland. Much to my shock, surprise, I was just bowled over by the fact that they kept the football coach and they kept the AD, and I also bowled over by the end of the tenure of the gutless president at Maryland, who allows it to be leaked that he wanted to fire the AD and the coach, but when they said to him, the Board of Regents, oh, then we'll fire you right now, he then, through leakage, said he ultimately felt it would have been tremendously disruptive to the entire campus if he was, you know, please.
Like, this isn't
nobody
disruptive.
Knows who you are. Nobody cares about the school president at Maryland. Honest to God, nobody cares. He kept his job so that he could retire on the financial terms that he wanted whenever he wanted to do this. He is utterly gutless. Does anybody want to tell me I'm wrong on this?
He is the only one who vocalized that he was taking moral and legal responsibility.
He did that.
Yes. He's the only one.
Which is going to cost Maryland more money.
He did that on behalf of the university, not
much
personal.
More money than they might have had to give out, because it's a blank check now to the McNair family, who are justifiably steamed even more.
Oh my God.
They've lost a child. They did not expect this to happen. Who expected this to happen? And yet there was a note in the front page story yesterday, front page of the sports section, saying there was some sentiment building for keeping DJ Durkin and keeping Damon Evans, both of whom should absolutely be fired. What the only casualty in this, besides a dead child, The only casualty in this is a strength and conditioning coach who wasn't even fired for cause,
right.
Who was paid off,
right.
A maniac. They're all maniacs.
Right.
And so what this feels like, and we'll ask Barry about this, so now is a good time to talk amongst ourselves about this. What this feels like is Maryland saying, you know what, this happens in big-time football. We interviewed this guy. He's passionate about his team. He's passionate about his school. This is a teaching kind of moment for all of us. So we'll take him back, and we'll put him on the sideline this week at home against Michigan State. We'll put him out there.
Gary and I were talking about this as we were walking in. To me, it's a little microcosm of the world in which we live. There doesn't appear to be any accountability. You get to just kind of do your thing, run roughshod over this poor young man who was clearly suffering from something,
yeah.
Who was taken to the hospital, whose parents were not visited until days after the young man had died. I mean, the university showed no empathy or sympathy toward them.
Zero. Zero.
As you are fond of saying, the answer to all of your questions is money. And to me, this is essentially just a financial decision. I mean, if this guy were Nick Saban or Urban Meyer, I wouldn't defend it, but I could understand it.
He's 10-15.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
his record.
And here's the thing: you know what? It wouldn't have happened with Nick Saban. Nick Saban is a total control freak.
That is true. But what are you? Who is this guy that this program needs him? You said you know their attitude is this happens in big time sports. Well, this isn't even big time sport. I mean, it's Big Ten, but this program is not a big program. Yeah. I can't see any reason to retain these guys except that the cost of jettisoning them is just more than the Board of Regents.
I'm not going to try to compare what happened at Penn State with Maryland. They are different issues. Right. But everybody at Penn State went.
Right.
Everybody at Penn State went. Lefty Driesell lost Len Bias, who essentially killed himself with drugs. He overdosed on drugs.
Right.
Nobody did this to him. There was no alleged supervision. It
no
wasn't
team
in training.
Connection to
nothing.
The drugs.
And Lefty Driesell left Maryland. There's a dead kid here. And I don't know how DJ Durkin or anyone on his staff goes to recruit somebody and says to the parents of a potential recruit, take care of your boy. We'll take care of your boy. Don't worry about it. Well, wait, yeah. What do you mean don't worry about it?
Well, there are those long-term effects, recruiting, boosterism. But there's the fact that there is a man on the University of Maryland payroll who lost a kid on his watch.
He did?
Yeah.
So we'll get to Barry. Michael, you're younger. I don't know what that means, closer to college age.
No, I just wonder about the trickle-down effect to somebody like myself, my family. I want nothing to do with this program. This extends beyond football. Basketball season starts in the coming weeks. I will not go to a Maryland basketball, and I don't go to a lot, but this was a team and a program that I rooted for as a kid that I had ties to from family friends, and this just looks like a university that has lost sense, that is a regional and a state university, and just wants to attach itself to Big Ten money and thinks that by maintaining this coaching structure, it's going to keep that cash cow flowing, and they do not care about the moral responsibility that they share in this tragedy.
And it does transcend the pro. I mean, it's a stain on the university.
Absolutely.
It's not
it
a program.
University.
Yeah. And this would be a good time, by the way, if you haven't, to just pause the podcast, go read Barry before we talk to him, because that was some major league
especially
writing on Barry's part.
Especially, go but Google DUI red panties.
Tony, Damon Evans, DUI red panties.
I don't know how he keeps his job.
How did he get hired? That was on the record.
Yeah,
the
that's
DUI.
Crazy. That's crazy.
Well, the word we talk about a lot, the optics of a situation. Did nobody just say, do we think, how's this going to play out in the general public? Or maybe they just didn't care.
Well, am I the only one who thinks that maybe this thing isn't all the way done yet? I mean, the reaction from Maryland alumni, now maybe they don't matter. Maybe they're just the electorate and the board is the administration and that's where all the power is centralized. But at least just anecdotally and on Twitter and cyberspace yesterday, it's 15 or 20 to 1 that this is just not the move
it's
that
not over.
The alum want.
Where's Under Armour in all this?
Don't know. He's the Kevin Plank and Under Armour, the biggest bankrollers of sports in Maryland. I don't know.
Uninformed guess would be
he'd have
that
to be all right with it.
Yeah, that he's all right with it.
Well, you asked about recruiting. That's a simple package. You have your official visit. Here, let me show you the Under Armour facilities we have. Here, take this gear. Right. Give this to your friends. Give this to your family.
Yeah. Well, the facility isn't going away if you fire the coach.
I was going to do we'll flip the trade deadline. We'll flip that with college rankings. Let me just get to the college rankings. The first college football playoff rankings came out. To nobody's surprise, Alabama is one and Clemson is two. To my surprise, LSU is three because they've got a loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They lost to Florida. Good team, Florida, also ranked. Mm-hmm. Notre Dame, four. I thought they would be three. After that, a bunch of one-loss teams from major conferences who are poised. You know, because, by the way, historically, at least two of the four teams lose quickly and they drop.
So well, one and three play each other this week. That's, so that's why it doesn't matter
Michigan,
where else
you're great weekend. Michigan from the Big Ten, Georgia from the SEC, Oklahoma from the Big 12, Washington State from the Pac-12, Kentucky, what a surprise, from the SEC, and Ohio State, that's the top 10 from the Big Ten. UCF is 12th. They haven't lost in 2 years. They're 12th. I would put them in if they finish undefeated. They're behind two-loss Florida, and a two-loss team is not getting into this thing. They never do. UCF has 2 7-1 teams at the back end of their schedule. I think Louisville and Cincinnati, no, South Florida and Cincinnati are both 7-1. If they beat them both and they go undefeated 2 years in a
row,
you
have to.
I think there would be some sentiment to put them in, but it doesn't appear that there's any sentiment.
It appears that they really emphasize resume in these standings, doesn't it? Like strength of schedule.
When I saw LSU at three, I wondered if they were somehow trying to figure out how to keep them in, even if they lose. I mean, let's say they lose 17-16 to Alabama. How far are they going to drop?
Well, they lose at home, though. It's at LSU. Yeah. I mean, that to me is very important. If LSU loses that game and gets a second loss, I don't know that they are more attractive as a second SEC team than Georgia with a second loss.
Right.
I don't know that they are. So they pretty much have to win that. If that's a good game and a close game, Alabama stays in the top four. Because Alabama's Alabama gets in with one loss and has 2 or 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
Alabama's what you want to see.
And they've justified that.
Yes. Alabama's what you want to see. Yeah. So we have that. Later in the show, we will talk about the trades. We'll talk about the best story of the day in sports is Kyle Lauletta. Kyle Lauletta, who was poised to be perhaps the starting quarterback for the New York Football Giants, and all he really had to do yesterday was make it into practice.
Like make a left turn.
And he got himself arrested.
Two lefts, a right, left, egg salad sandwich. Yeah.
And he got himself arrested. And the cop, as we'll later learn, the cop was laying in wait for him because the day before he had done the same thing.
Yeah.
So Kyle Lauletta did not learn from history and is doomed to repeat it. We'll get to all of those things when we later in the show. When we come back, though, we will talk to Barry Svrluga, who has been wonderful in his writing, pointed and opinionated, has been exactly what a columnist should be for The Washington Post. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the First Leaf Wine Club ad. Like First Leaf. Michael has been kind enough for months now to buy me First Leaf wines. It's the only online wine club that uses your ratings to make personalized wine selections matched to your taste. The more wine you taste and rate, the better First Leaf will customize your box based on the wines you like. When you sign up with my personal link, you get your 3-pack of introductory wine for only $15 plus free shipping. If you then rate your first three wines, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box of wine. Michael, tell the people how I rate the wines.
You drink the wine, you write detailed notes, and all you really need is a yes or a no. It's a thumbs up, thumbs down. What's great is when I come to the house, you and Mom, you talk about which wines you like. Did you rate this one? Did you try this one yet? So that is, I think that's the power of the First Leaf system.
It's brought the family closer, those wine discussions.
I give this to the wine tyrant, who I think throws it out.
Why do you think they have to drink the wine to start?
But I think she throws it out before she even gets to the car.
Do you write the Cabernet Sauvignon
Jesus wept.
No, I don't do that. I wrote good, very good, ordinary,
you don't use
sadly
like
carbonated stuff
Merlot,
like that.
Not the Merlot again.
Yeah, I do that.
You don't use the typical wine terms like oakiness.
No.
Nutty.
No. When it comes to buying wine, most of our choices are made out of habit. We don't remember how we found our favorites. We just know that when we're at checkout, those same brands and bottles, they're in our cart week after week. First Leaf is a new online wine club that's putting a stop to boring wine buying by helping you discover your new favorite wines. Every shipment is curated to your taste based on your ratings. You answer questions about your wine drinking preference. Mine is red. Then they give you a 3-pack of wine based on your flavor profile. You get these for just $5 each. The wines go for like $20 a piece. When our bottles arrived, I tasted, then I rated them. I didn't rate them online. Again, I give the cards to Michael and Liz. First Leaf takes the rating, selects new wines based on my taste. Their experts are constantly exploring new wines for me to taste and rate. It's amazing how accurate they are at selecting wines that I love. That could be because I have no palate. After rating my first 3 wines, the next shipment I got was almost perfect. 5 of the 6 wines were spot on, and my shipments get better. They get better the more wines that I rate. With First Leaf, you never have to worry about spending money on a bad bottle of wine. They guarantee you'll love the wine you buy, or they will give you your money back. So try First Leaf Wine Club today. Sign up with my personal link. You'll get an exclusive introductory offer. It is those 3 bottles of wine for only $15 plus free shipping. That's not all. If you rate these 3 wines, and you should, you'll get an extra $10 off your next box. Just go to tryfirstleaf.com/Tony. That's tryfirstleaf.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a band who we've played before. This is Hot Pink Hangover, which is a great name for a band. Or a great name, actually, for your house. One of those people that puts signs in front of your house.
A beach house.
Yeah, this is called Hazard Town, and Nigel has an announcement to make.
Yes, for Hot Pink Hangover. They have a gig this Saturday in St. Paul, Minnesota, at the Can Can Wonderland. And then they're going to disappear into the studio and release a new album. So this is the last time to see them live. If you're anywhere near St. Paul, go see that. And then good luck with the album, guys, because we can't wait to hear some new music from you all.
Okay. Barry Zwerluga joins us now, has written great on this from the beginning and continued today to write a great column. And I guess you start with the overview, which is how strategically did this happen? I mean, none of us can believe this happened. Politicians, I assume, are involved in this. Money, I assume, is involved in this. Who is leading the parade? And how did this happen that the coach and the AD remain employed by Maryland?
Tony, I have no idea, man. This did not even seem remotely a possibility to me a week ago, 5 days ago, a day ago. It just defies logic that a coach who created an environment in which players were routinely humiliated, embarrassed, taunted with food, shown videos of animals disemboweling each other, vomit-filled trash cans thrown across the floor. If he didn't do those things specifically, he created and fostered an environment in which that was the norm. And I understand that there are players and families who support DJ Durkin, but I also understand that there are players and families that are appalled by that environment, and that there, more importantly, are players and families who believe that that environment led to, or at least contributed to, the death of Jordan McNair. It is impossible for me to figure out a way that the University of Maryland can rise this morning as a whole and say, we are proud of who we are. We know what we represent. We create an environment where your children will be educated and taken care of at a very base level and will be taught, and they will learn what's right and wrong. To get to your question about the how and why, and I haven't explored that yet in print, but I think, you know, we'd be naive to think that money wasn't somehow part of a motivator, in Durkin's case, at least. He would have a more than $5 million buyout. This is a cash-strapped athletic department trying to play big-time football without a big-time football program and the revenue that generates it. And if you want to go deep into the shadows behind this, you have to wonder what the most powerful person in Maryland athletics thinks about it all. And you would have to surmise that Kevin Plank, the Under Armour founder and former Maryland football player, believes that DJ Durkin should still be the coach this morning, because the flip side of that is, if he didn't think that, then I can't imagine DJ Durkin would be the coach this morning. And then just one small thing about Damon Evans, the athletic director. He was directly in charge of football for four seasons before he became the interim athletic director. It was his job to understand what the conditions that those athletes were working in. And he either understood none of it or endorsed all of it, and neither one of those is acceptable. It's astonishing that he has his job this morning.
So the only person, other than a child who is dead and not coming back, the only person who has lost his job as a strength and conditioning coach who was paid in full, that's the only person that loses a job? Do I have that correct?
We don't know yet about the trainers, the two trainers that were put on administrative leave at the same that were ousted when Rick Court, the strength coach, was ousted. That's Damon Evans's purview now. He gets to decide who stays and goes, which is, again, astonishing to me. I don't know. I think we're going to have stuff this week where other people won't lose their jobs, but you may find some football players, walking out and refusing to play for this guy. Think of this, Tony. Like, there's a situation where not a situation. This is what's going to happen. Maryland is going to play Michigan State on Saturday, having already played eight games, and DJ Durkin is going to be on the sideline. That is incomprehensible. And the fact that the entire structure is in place and the Board of Regents is saying that structure that failed Jordan McNair so badly that he died in a manner that was completely preventable with the simplest and most basic sports medicine practices, that structure is back in place, but they've learned lessons, and they're going to move forward. And they are the right people to fix this place going forward. The school is broken. That means that at the Regents level, even above the College Park administration, they're broken. It's an embarrassing day. Mm. It's an embarrassment for anybody who holds a degree from that school. I asked that yesterday to people, and it was very few and far between the Terp alums who said, "God, I feel great to be a Terp today."
I felt that the president or chancellor, whatever Lowe's title is, I thought, what a gutless performance by him to leak out that you wanted to fire these people, but they said, "Oh, if you do, we'll fire you." Then go out on your sword if you believe in something. Is that not utterly gutless by him?
That was my interpretation. Now, I've had conversations with colleagues and others who, and this is what Wallace Lowe said yesterday, is it would have, his thought on that is, it would have been irresponsible to put this ship in the hands of somebody new, unfamiliar, at the kind of rockiest times. I don't buy that.
Please.
If you wanted to fire, among the hypocrisies here, the Regents said they oversee the whole University of Maryland system, and they say they want autonomy for each campus. And yet, if our reporting by Rick Mace who's been great on this throughout, is correct. That's what happened. They said, Wallace Lowe, you can be back until the end of the year, but you have to employ the football coach. That's meddling. I mean, that is reaching down into the campus and having your hands on direct personnel decisions there. I am with you, Tony. I think if you are a leader of high standing and good morals, if those conditions are forced upon you by people that are not supposed to be making those decisions, if you don't believe in them, then it's on you to take a stand and say, I won't work under these conditions, find somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I'm supposing here, I'm supposing that Durkin was impressive in his interviews because there's a quote about he's passionate for his team and, excuse me, passionate for the school. I just thought that the longer it went, the insertion of the Speaker of the House of Delegates, Mike Miller, who's been an important politician in the state for a long time, he seemed to be backing Durkin. I agree with you that it appears that Kevin Plank is banking Durkin. And then there's this notion that, well, this is the way it is with big-time football programs. You know, this is the way it is. It's not a toxic culture. This is the way it is. Who leads the charge on that? Who gets the four most important people in the room and says, this is the way we're going to go? Has that person been identified to you?
The person who said that DJ Durkin should be the one to lead a big-time football program?
No, the person who said, we're going to stay with DJ Durkin, we're going to stay with Damon Evans, this is the way it's going to be. Is that politician? Is that Kevin Plank? Is that, who is it?
To me, it's got to be, I mean, Plank has to be on board. I don't think a world exists in which Kevin Plank is saying, Durkin's got to go, and Durkin stays. I just don't think that's how college sports works. I think there was genuine discord among the 17-member Board of Regents about how this should go. And I think that Wallace Lowe, the president in College Park, believed that Durkin, as we just discussed, should be out. So I think there was genuine debate, and anybody who presents this as a kind of unified decision that everybody was in accordance with, they wouldn't have had whatever it was, six meetings over 11 days if everybody thought this was an easy decision. It's just, again, I mean, I think that James Brady, the head of the Board of Regents, has to wear this because he stood up there and said, this is a great leading institution, which is a joke. I mean, it can't be if these are the conditions that you're creating and the standards that you hold your employees by, that when they mess up this badly and badly enough that they create an environment which a kid died, that the solution is, oh, just change the way you do things and things will be better. DJ Durkin believed that these were the right things to do, the right ways to build a program. If you asked about big-time college football, DJ Durkin worked under Urban Meyer and Jim Harbaugh, two of the most well-compensated, biggest names in the sport. I think if you want to extrapolate this further, you know, you learn from who you work for. The concern for me would be, did he pull these practices out of thin air?
Of course not.
Or did Rick Court come to him and say, you know, this is how I want to motivate players through these bizarre tactics and creating fear? Or is this really prevalent? And do places like Ohio State and Michigan, where the programs are much more established and the traditions are much greater and the stakes are much higher, is that the way they do things too? I'm not ready to say these practices are normal because they seem so bizarre to me, but I think that's on the table at this point, given who DJ Durkin worked for in the past.
I agree with that. I guess the obvious question is, how does this guy go into, or any of his assistants go into someone's home and say, well, we'll take care of your boy, don't worry about it. I don't know how he does that.
That's astonishing. I mean, what mother is going to sit there and say, hey man, for 4 or 5 years, I am entrusting the care of my son to you, DJ Durkin, because you have shown great judgment. You understand the difference between right and wrong. And you're the person that we're going with.
And the institution you work at will keep you in check.
Yeah,
exactly. Yes. That's exactly.
But
right.
You know, the seams of this can disappear very quickly, as with happened with Penn State. In 2 years, this
went a little.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone.
Well, but
will forget.
Penn State fired everybody.
Yes,
but and the president of Penn State went to jail.
It's true, but still, so, it didn't take long for that memory to fade.
Penn State is a football school. Maryland is not, right. And it gets me to this to the final question, I guess, is, and Gary brought this up in the opening segment before you were on, is this done? Is it over, or is this somehow reversible? Is there? What do you think?
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think today is the day to debate whether DJ Durkin is a good football coach or not. But put it this way, I mean, the guy who filled in for him won as many Big Ten games in 2 months as he won in 2 years. There will be a performance evaluation. I mean, that's another part of it too. Is like, this isn't Urban Meyer. This isn't, you know, Joe Paterno, in terms of accomplishment and stature. The evaluation of him in this case should have been made on how he conducted his program, not wins and losses. But where, I mean, who thinks that DJ Durkin is going to be the coach at the University of Maryland in 2022 and will have a program that's kind of rolling along in a Big Ten division that includes Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State? I mean, put aside all this mess, the Maryland job in the Big Ten is a nearly impossible one. And how you, just because every year you play those three teams, in addition to Michigan State, which is, you know, could be, has been in the college football playoff, it's a very, very difficult job in a campus that is more and more apathetic about football, that left its traditional conference in the ACC, that has not recovered really from leaving that, because, you know, on a given Saturday, if they're playing Michigan at home, you think it feels like a Terrapin home game? It doesn't. It feels like a Michigan home game. So, I don't know, Tony. I mean, in terms of whether it's over, I don't think it's over, because I think we have to see, is there attrition from the football program, not just in midseason now, kids refusing to play for this guy, but what's the transfer level after this? And one thing Durkin did do well was recruited talent. Had top 20 recruiting classes the past couple of years, or top 25, whatever. How could that possibly be the case going forward? What these guys that are, you know, so-called 4- or 5-star recruits, they have choices. What would compel them to choose the University of Maryland?
I guess I was just wondering, is it, you know, is there a possibility of a popular revolution on the campus at Maryland that would say, no, we're not going to stand for this.
Saturday scene's going
to
be.
You have to change it. I just wonder. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think that's all on the table. I think there's a protest scheduled today. So it's been a developing story for 4 months, just because it reached the conclusion, the absolutely incredible and jaw-dropping conclusion that it reached, doesn't mean the story is over.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Barry. Keep writing. There's a lot to write about.
Appreciate it, Tony. Thanks.
Barry's Verluga Boys and Girls, who has done a great job. Great job. We will come back with news. Nigel will do the news when we return. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Brooke Lennon ad, and I like when, you know, when people they write copy and it says introduction and thought starters. Be conversational and make these your own. And then it says, talk about the new sheets you discovered. Well, I'm not Vasco da Gama. I mean, I didn't discover them. I mean, they're good. Brooke Lennon is good. I'm glad I've got Brooke Lennon sheets.
You really like them.
They were sent to my house. I didn't discover them. I put them on the bed. I think they're really good. They were named winner of the best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping. They get rave reviews from Business Insider. It's the fastest growing bedding brand in the world with over 20,000 five-star reviews. It tells me to talk about the incredible feeling of fancy hotel sheets, and how Brooke Lennon was started by a husband and wife who didn't think it should be so difficult and expensive to get sheets like that at home. I don't know that fancy hotel sheets, and I've been to my share of fancy hotels, I don't think, whoa, what an incredible feeling. I think these are nice sheets.
Yes.
I mean, these are nice.
The bathrobes are really more important.
Yeah, this is how I feel about Brooke Lennon, that these are really nice sheets. And the line about the husband and wife who started the line, they live in the city that never sleeps, yet they're committed to bringing you the best sleep ever. That's okay. You know, the city that never sleeps. We're going back a ways. We're going into the Sinatra years. I don't know about that. Founded in 2014 by the husband and wife team of Vicky and Rich Fulop and their dog, Dukes. I guess they wrapped the dog in swaddling linen at that point. Their mission was to bring five-star hotel quality sheets to everyday life, luxury sheets without the luxury markup. And this, I didn't know. Most bedding is marked up as much as 300%. You take out the middleman, you keep things personal just between them and the customer, from design to manufacturing to customer service and beyond. It's a small business approach from being run by a husband and wife team to being involved in every step of the manufacturing process to a customer service team that cares so much they remember customers by name.
Do you know what they do?
No.
So we tried to do an order, and I think somewhere along the lines, we were sharing the wrong promo code. So I'm excited for this one. I had a cart filled, but we'd never completed the order, and they followed up for about 2 weeks.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that is what you want.
Yes.
What I want is a working code so I can get my sheets.
Right. Well, okay. Brooklinen sheets are the best, most comfortable sheets that I've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for my listeners. You can get $20 off and free shipping when you use the promo code TonyKShow. Michael, use TonyKShow at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure that you'll love your new sheets, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all of their sheets and comforters. A lifetime warranty. Wow. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is use this promo code, Tony K Show, at Brooklinen. That's BROOKLINEN, brooklinen.com, promo code Tony K Show. These really are the best sheets ever.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
My name is Paul Miller. I'm the web content specialist for the Colt Wilbur Band. Please enjoy a track from the band's Heart of Stone album called You and Whiskey. The track's one of our favorite songs. It shows the range the band has, a song that talks about how some deal with a relationship that has gone by the wayside. Check out the band at several shows in the coming months, including Blarney's Twisted Irish Pub in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, on November 30th, and Johnny Joe's Sports Bar and Grill in Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, on December 15th. So I'm going to take a guess that these guys are from the Pennsylvania area.
They are a central PA-based band.
Yeah. Colt Wilbur Band. This is awfully good.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is awfully good. Michael, if people like the members of the Colt Wilbur Band want to send us their original music, how do they do so?
Send us your music by emailing it to jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
The sound, excuse me, Michael, I'm sorry. The sound described as a Texas red dirt country soul southern rock sound.
From people in the middle of Pennsylvania.
Right.
Which I always
Josh like. Abbott Band.
I'm getting very excited because in the next few minutes, the Today Show people will unveil their costumes.
Oh,
and that's always...
Oh, that's always fun.
They always go large. I mean, they do. They do a great job of
their
costumes.
Any guesses?
No, I have no guesses. Do you have guesses?
No. Just figured you watch this every
year. How
about
something like this one that Brad Weiss tweeted out earlier? Do you see what that's called on the bottom?
Ruth Vader Ginsburg. That's very funny.
Yes.
It's very funny. It's Darth Vader with that little bib thing she wears.
And a gavel.
Yeah, that's...
I want, maybe, will they do Black Panther on the
They
TV
won't be
show?
Doing blackface,
they
I would mention
that.
To say that.
I guarantee you that whoever they are, they will have their own faces.
Yes.
They're not going to fool around with that at this point on NBC. Nigel has news.
I do indeed, Mr. Tony. Before I get the news, I want to say thanks to a loyal little named Rob Reeks, who sent me a couple of hats from my alma mater, Denison University. They're very lovely. Unfortunately, they resemble MAGA hats.
Well, is that the color?
Do.
Is that your color?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. They were,
is that sort of a scarlet Denison, red? Is that your
red?
Color?
Denison University's team nickname is Big Red, which is a dreadful nickname.
What do you want them to do? Well, Cornell is the Big
Cornell
Red also.
Big red.
Yeah, it's just terrible.
Well, the lettering is safe enough.
What
you can get away with it.
Yeah, what do you want them to do?
But from a distance.
Change it to Big Blue.
No, it's clearly DU. It doesn't have the white writing on it.
I'm with you, Nigel.
They don't own the red hat.
I made a mistake.
People at a distance would see that hat and throw eggs at me.
Oh,
like that.
No.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Gotta wait 3 years before.
Who's anti-MAGA hat?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
Mr. Tony, just after the Cavaliers fire head coach Ty Lue, you think they're really going to crater. They're not going to do anything at all.
Because they love Ty Lue. Yeah. Right. Because Wilbon loves Ty Lue.
Right.
Thinks he's a great, underappreciated coach. How'd those Cavaliers do?
136-114 over the Atlanta Hawks for their first victory of the year.
For Larry Drew.
Yes.
Who doesn't even want to be the head coach
not
without
Uncle
a
Drew?
Contract.
That's not Uncle
not
Drew,
Uncle
is it?
Drew, no.
Now,
he wants a new contract.
I'm not familiar with this bloke, but there's an R. Hood who led with 26 points. Is that Robin
Rodney.
Hood?
Rodney.
Rodney Hood. Oh, Rodney.
Rodney
Hood. I thought it was going to be something.
Now, by the way, now tied with the Wizards.
So, yeah, that's right. So,
has it right.
So Ty Lue, I guess, wasn't that important to that team.
Now, no.
It feels like they were liberated when they fired
Now, if Larry Drew leads them to 26 wins, are you wrong?
Yeah. I said the team would get 25 or fewer. Yes,
but
I'd
it was
wrong.
But it was doesn't tied matter. Into the firing of the coach.
Doesn't matter. I'd be wrong.
Yeah,
that was my qualification
right,
on the team itself. Yes.
Did you have a prediction for how the Houston Rockets would do this year?
I hope they would not do well because I know that Wilbon loves them and believes that they would have beaten if Chris Paul. It's always with Chris Paul and Wilbon. If something happens to Chris Paul, that's the reason why whatever team he's on doesn't win the championships. By the way, you'll look at his fingers and you'll see there are no rings on his
right.
championships.
Almost one.
He
almost
never got to the finals. He never got to the finals. So Houston has Chris Paul and Houston has James Harden. And then they added Carmelo Anthony, who said he'd be fine coming off the bench. How's their record?
Well, after losing a nail-biter 104-85 to the Trailblazers, they are now at 1-5.
Yeah. I thought they were 1-6.
1-5.
1-5.
Yeah. 1-5.
So I don't... You
how's
know,
that working out for them?
I think that Golden State is by far the best team and like to watch them. I like to watch them play.
Lot of deals...
That's an interesting take.
Like to watch them play. I think they're good.
Lot of deals, interesting deals, rather, at the NFL trade deadline, including... Your Washington Redskins trading for Ha Ha Clinton Dix,
who's very good, who was a first-round pick.
Yeah, that's a good deal.
Who's very good. Why did the I understand the Packers got rid of Ty Montgomery.
Yes.
Which they should have
that
done.
That makes sense.
Yes. Because he was a clown and directly disobeyed the orders of the coach.
And
cost them
that
the chance.
Well, yeah, I should say
cost them
the chance
to tie or win that game. He did that.
Yeah.
But Ha Ha Clinton Dix is pretty good. Starts every game.
Yeah.
This really helps the Redskins.
Oh, yeah.
Except the Philadelphia Eagles.
That's right.
At Golden Tate.
That's right.
All the more reason to
and
eat them.
The Redskins have to play the Eagles still.
Twice. That's right. But
I'm not sure what Redskins, offsets what.
The Redskins got better.
Yes.
As the Eagles got better, the Redskins got better. And the Redskins are 5-2, and the Eagles are not.
Okay.
They're 4-4.
And the Redskins continue their attempted transition to becoming the Alabama Crimson Tide.
So let's, and nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. Especially defensively.
Right. And so let's go to what Gina was saying. Golden Tate traded, inexplicably, pretty good player, traded from Detroit to Philadelphia to give Carson Wentz, who's having a good year.
Yes.
Carson Wentz is having a very good year.
He is having a good year.
To give him a down-the-field receiver. Makes the Eagles a lot better.
Yep. Yes, it does.
And Demaryius Good Thomas job, also Mitch. Traded to the Texans.
That's a great deal for the Texans. Yeah.
Well, yes.
They lost Will Fuller.
Yeah. But Demaryius Thomas, if you look at the arc of his career, now maybe this is because of who's quarterbacking there.
It has something to do with
it. But the last time he was any good was Peyton Manning.
And who's thrown to him since?
Brock
Trevor Osweiler, Simeon, Trevor Siemian,
and Case Keenum. I think Case Keenum was okay. I think he's okay.
Yeah,
and Demaryius Thomas is not doing much at all, but that does help Houston very much.
Yes. And there have been rumors the Patriots are going to try and get one of those wide receivers as well, but they
did not. What about the Rams? Rams going for it all right
now.
They are. Rams get a pass rusher.
Oh, yes.
Dante Fowler.
Yes, that's right. Dante Fowler. So
Rams, a disgruntled guy. And on the defense, there's got about four guys. The Rams have four guys who've had trouble, been problematic in other places.
Yeah.
Four different guys, but they all seem to be able to play for Wade Phillips so far.
I'm just going to say, the key, that Wade Phillips somehow gets those guys in line.
Yeah. The trade that didn't happen is the most important trade. Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
He didn't sign the contract.
Does he play? Do you think he comes back and plays this year?
He's got, two more games?
The kid's playing all right, and his whatever his name is.
The kid is playing beyond all right.
It's not Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, predicted they would give him the ball 40 times a game and use him up, and that's what they'll do once he gets out there.
Yes.
They'll use him up because they know he's leaving.
So, yes. And maybe this isn't fair. I don't know that either of you would know this, but so what's the is that franchise tender still sort of out there for him?
If he doesn't sign it,
he loses the year,
the whole year. Mm-hmm.
What if they say? What if they take it off the table?
They can, I guess.
And then just what is he then?
Well, he's unsigned. Whatever it is, he is unsigned. He has no
contract. So could they then, and seem to me that they could, but could they force him to forfeit the year? They could say, you know what, we're not offering you anything.
No, because you can't just take that back spitefully. I don't know. I think that
maybe go on waivers.
If I was the Players Association, I would really raise holy hell about that.
Man, so that guy he watches $850,000 go away every week.
Yeah. $870,000, I think. Yeah,
crazy.
What else?
Sean White, the three-time Olympic gold medalist, has had to issue an apology to the Special Olympians for a picture of him dressed up as the character Simple Jack from the movie Tropic Thunder.
It's a wonderful movie. I don't think it can be made today.
No.
Probably not.
Yes.
But I really think it's a very, very good movie. That's a ridiculous misstep on the part of Sean White. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is. As he said, I owe everyone in the Special Olympics community an apology for my poor choice of Halloween costume night. It was is where he sort of tries to walk back. It was a last-minute decision.
Oh, come on.
It was the wrong one. With that kind of outfit, I think you need a little bit of preparation on that.
Come on, somebody is looking. You're looking in the mirror to see if it's working. You got to. No, I can't. You have to say to yourself, I can't really do this. I can do this in my own house, but I can't post it.
Just ask Prince Harry.
Come on. You know? You can't do
There's some costumes you shouldn't wear. And Mr. Tony, this is a very exciting announcement. We want to walk back a story that we talked about the other day, and this is just in time. And I want to thank Gary for pointing this out to me. The CDC has issued an update to the statement that we brought to you early this week, saying we were reporting that you were not allowed to dress your chicken up with a costume.
You were very upset about this.
Yes, for Halloween. I believe your exact quote was, can you imagine a world in which you're not allowed to dress your chicken up for Halloween? So apparently...
Now you can?
Well, apparently the city says, we never issued that report. Now, they're still saying, it's really not a good idea to handle your chicken closely. Do not lick the chicken or anything like that. But in terms of dressing the chicken up, the CDC at this point is saying, it's okay.
Thank goodness.
It's going to make for a nice Halloween at the Kornheiser house.
Do we have the Kyle Lauletta story?
Yes. So Kyle Lauletta
is he's the backup quarterback for the Giants. There is some thought he was going to start.
Week. And it was veteran.
They're on a bye, but their next game at the Niners.
But it was Veterans Day, or I guess a veteran practice day. So like Eli Manning was not going to take a lot of the snaps. Kyle Lauletta was probably going to take most of the snaps. And on his way to the Giants facility, where I guess they were supposed to be there at 8, and this was just before 8, Lauletta was trying to make a right turn from the wrong lane in his Jaguar to get to Route 495 West. He was told to keep going straight, but Lauletta almost struck an officer while making the legal turn.
No, it's the second day in a row that he did this.
Refused various instructions after he was stopped by another officer at the end of the on-ramp. Charged with eluding police, obstructing administration of law, resisting arrest, reckless driving, disregarding an officer's directions, improper turn in marked traffic lanes, and failure to remain in a marked lane. That's a busy morning.
He's not
going to
start the game. He's an idiot.
No.
Yeah.
Does he
stay with the team?
Does he stay with the team?
He stays with the team.
He may even get into a game, but this was really dumb on his part.
Yeah, the timing of that was not all that great.
No reporting yet as to whether or not he dropped a "Do you know who I am?" But
well, nobody knows who he is.
Right,
Kyle Lauletta.
Seriously, do you know who I am?
Nobody has any idea who he is.
And I wasn't sure. Were you going to talk about the passing of Whitey Bulger?
Yeah, I think we'll do that. I think we'll do that in
Ogai
after Jeff Ma. Talk about the Wizards being terrible and talk about
We always talk about how bad the metro system is here in Washington, D.C., and I think justifiably so. But this is a miserable story from up in New Jersey. New Jersey Transit train lost power for almost 2 hours Monday evening, and as he said, causing Hunger Games-like chaos inside the cars with reports of fights and passengers getting sick. What? The Montclair-bound train stalled at around 6:30 p.m. for a delay that was only supposed to last about 45 minutes. But as the 45 minutes stretched on, passengers started reporting that fights were breaking out.
Oh, my God.
This super-hot, overcrowded train of Jersey commuters is about to be the next Hunger Games.
Rush
one
to the
passenger.
Cornucopia.
Yes. So we have that to thank for. We don't have that going on in Washington. Our trains just catch on fire.
just.
Yeah.
And that's enough.
Yeah. Yes.
And that's pretty much all we have.
Okay. So we will get out of here. And the old guy, Jeff Ma, will join us. And he'll start making a prediction or two, I hope. Because
he
had his only bad week.
Still, I mean, well above 500.
Yes. Yeah, he's 2015-3, but
because Kevin's in his head now.
Yeah.
Kevin's renting space in his head.
And loving it, I'm sure.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lowe's ad, which, of course, is my new go-to destination for Craftsman products. Anytime I want Craftsman products, I am going right to Lowe's. They have everything I need to help me tackle projects around my home, from mechanics tool sets to tool storage and more, both in store and online. One of the cool and different things you'll find in the Lowe's Craftsman lineup are the mechanics tool sets and the gunmetal finish. And that gunmetal chrome finish is corrosion resistant. That means the tools are more durable, they're more long-lasting, and the best part, if you're a stickler about cleaning the tools, it makes them easier to clean. You can get this in a 51 or an 81-piece set. The set comes with the new industry-leading Craftsman 120-tooth ratchet, which offers extreme accessibility. And if I were honest, I would tell you, if you drop this ratchet on the table right now, I would not know what it was, but I'm sure that the worker man I hired would be very, very grateful. If your project happens to be in a really tight space to get to, then you definitely need to check out the 120-tooth ratchet with a 3-degree arc swing, which means you can loosen or tighten bolts with less movement in those hard-to-reach spots. With its slim head and 3-degree arc swing, you can get into narrow spaces with ease and quickly tighten or loosen any fastener. Lowe's and Craftsman are both deeply rooted in heritage and quality. Like their customers, these two brands have a shared passion for hands-on doing. Lowe's and Craftsman make it easy to tackle any auto or do-it-yourself project on your list. So shop the new home of Craftsman today. That is Lowe's.com/Tony. Lowe's.com/Tony.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
In honor of Halloween, Old Guy Radio for the day is Season of the Witch. This is the Donovan version of Season of the Witch. This is not the Mike Bloomfield version of Season of the Witch.
This is the Donovan version. Yes.
Do you like this? I've always liked this song.
I like
this song.
Mm-hmm.
Couple notes about this song. Jimmy Page plays guitar on this.
Is that right?
Yes. Eventually, obviously, the lead guitarist for Led Zeppelin, but at that point, just a session musician. And I want to give you the story about the bass line on this. As Donovan says, I remember the bass line going down and Mickey Most, our producer, saying, we've got a problem.
Mickey Most also produced The Animals.
Yeah, big, great, great famous producer, right?
Yeah.
We've got a problem. The engineers are saying they can't turn the bass up. I said, why? They said, well, it's going into the red. And he said to the engineers, look, go into the red. I'm giving you permission. That's what we want. The engineers had a meeting and saying, no, the equipment can't handle it. We can't do that. So then Mickey said, look, I've just made a record deal with your boss, Clive Davis, for $5
million
and 7 bands. And he's given me $1 million right now. So you think I would phone him up and he'd give me a little more bass? They looked at each other and said, oh, yeah, sure, I guess we
can
do
right
that.
Yeah.
They did it. Obviously, the equipment was fine. And as Donovan said, I guess the next time they made that needle, they did the thing by just moving the red a little bit farther to the right. So like in Spinal Tap, my amps went up to 11.
That's exactly right. All right, Jeff Ma joins us now. I've said this prior to his introduction. He had his only losing week last week. He was 2-3. He got beat late in the San Francisco Arizona game as Josh Rosen threw a touchdown, I think within the last minute or so. But Jeff, you're still making money. You're 2015-3 at this point. Jeff's podcast is Bet the Process with Rufus Peabody. What do you have for us this week, Jeff?
We're going to start with betting against that San Francisco team. There are a hard team to figure out. I guess maybe they're not. I mean, they're not very good. But on Thursday night, they play the Raiders. They're giving 3 points. The Raiders have surprisingly had a good offense this year. They're above average in yards per play. And the narrative is that they've given up, with that Amari Cooper trade. But they really won that Amari Cooper trade. I mean, that was a ridiculous trade for the Cowboys. And Amari Cooper was doing nothing this year. So any sort of consideration that with Amari Cooper in terms of an analysis of the Raiders seems folly. And I actually like the Raiders plus the 3 points here against San Francisco.
I don't know how lines are made, but San Francisco is terrible. And I assume this is at San Francisco. I still don't.
Struggling.
Plus three, that surprises me, Jeff. Does it not surprise you at all?
I think that the way, in this case, the lines are made is like the lines makers are roughly saying that San Francisco and the Raiders are
you know, power ranked pretty even, and yep. home field is usually, people believe, is worth about 2.5 points. So maybe they're saying that San Francisco is a teeny bit better. I mean, I think as much as you think that San Francisco is terrible, the narrative is that the Raiders are just as bad. So,
yeah.
you know, the line is that's where the line is. But I think, again, the Raiders have just been better offensively, and their defense, while terrible, may not be something that San Francisco's offense, which has been very pedestrian, can exploit.
Okay. What have we got? What other stuff?
We're going to take the Jets plus the 3 over Miami.
You're doing that? You're going with the Jets again. You're going with the Jets again.
Yeah.
You lost last week. Okay.
But I can, you know, you can't overreact. I mean, all this stuff.
What do you want them to do? Never pick the Jets again?
I'm just wondering.
I mean, all of this stuff, you know, when you go back, and I actually went back and listened to, you know, Kevin's podcast because I wanted to hear how he analyzed games, because unlike him, I'm not just dismissive of other people's methods. I really want to understand other people's
right.
methods.
Right.
And so I went back and listened to it, and now I feel pretty comfortable being dismissive of them, because they, you know, he's basically just creating narratives using data that he's getting, you know, maybe getting, and he has a good narrative around how he's a guy offshore that's telling him this, telling him that. I mean, he talks about people betting on sharp, you know, sharp money. Well, I literally know the guys that are betting on sharp money, and we have the people that are sharp money. Like Rufus Peabody is a guy that moves lines. Like when he bets, he moves lines. So that concept of sharp money, which is like some notion of some incredibly smart guy sitting behind a desk or some guy that knows when the fix is in, that's just the narrative that we're creating. So, I mean, again, like the numbers to me say that, you know, that we run say that the Jets are a better team than Miami, so should not be giving 3 points to them. And
okay.
you know, regardless of what happened last week, the Jets plus 3 over Miami is where I see their value.
All right, what else?
Atlanta plus the 2 over the Redskins. Atlanta's offense is far superior at 6.3 yards per play to 5.3 yards per play. Washington obviously has a better defense. Washington is you know, overrated a bit at this point now, because they have the number 3 turnover margin in the game, in the league, and that obviously has caused them to overperform their sort of statistics. So I don't know if that's sustainable, and I like Atlanta plus the 2.
Okay.
And then the Broncos minus 1 over the Texans. Despite the winning streak, the Texans are, I think, incredibly overrated. Their offense is not that great. Deshaun Watson has you know, continue to be a guy that everyone loves, everyone thinks is special, et cetera. And he has great moments, and certainly DeAndre Hopkins, all the highlights you see, it's causing the Texans to be overrated. But the Broncos are a better team, and only giving 1 here at home, I think, is value on Denver.
Do you think that the fact that the Texans just picked up a wide receiver from the Broncos and they play within the next week, does that influence you in any way?
I mean, it's hard to quantify, so not really.
Okay.
I think a situation like that, you know, if you see this all the time with, like, Belichick teams in the playoffs and all this kind of stuff. Again, like, what we try to do is use analytics to understand what the numbers and what the history and what the data is really saying, versus like betting on narratives or betting on narratives that we don't really know what those narratives mean. So something like that we typically will ignore because we don't really know how to quantify it.
Okay. Are you good with 4? You got another one for us?
I got one more, and it's really hard to you know, to pass up a chance to bet against Nathan Peterman. So the Bears minus the 10 over Buffalo. We liked this game before we knew Peterman was playing. We liked it at around minus 8.5, minus 9. It's up to minus 10. As we've covered before, Peterman is, you know, a lot of times when people say quarterbacks are really bad, they're kind of overrating that badness. But Peterman is historically bad as a quarterback right now, and he would not be starting, you know, in any other situation. So think about all the catastrophic things that have had to happen to make him start this game against the Bears. I mean, I just feel bad for the guy, and even if I'm betting against him, I think I'll almost be pulling for him just because I feel so bad for him. But I like the Bears minus the 10 over Buffalo.
We hope you have a very good week. We hope so, because we like to stick it to Kevin. We want to stick it to Kevin. That would make us very happy. Thank you, Jeff. Jeff's podcast is Bet the Process with Jeff and Rufus Peabody. And Jeff, I'm happy with Jeff. Thank you, Jeff. All right.
Thank you. Bye.
Let me get to a couple of other stories here. The Whitey Bulger story. Whitey Bulger was one of the most notorious people in the history of the country in terms of murderers and mobsters and things like that. And he was on the run for 30 or 40 years, maybe more than that.
Oh, I don't think it was that long.
16 years, I believe, he was on the lam.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was an FBI informant, and he was a murderer. He ultimately gets convicted and sent to prisons, and if my understanding is correct, is transferred from prison to prison on a fairly regular basis. He ends up in a prison 2 days ago in West Virginia and maybe gets one night in.
Yeah.
He was murdered.
It's the Angelo Barksdale situation.
Yeah, he was being investigated as a homicide. There's apparently tape of two people beating him to death, right? Something like that. What do we make of this?
By the way, as vicious a criminal as he was, an 89-year-old reportedly confined to a wheelchair who had sustained 9 heart attacks since his incarceration.
Yeah.
And had like his nitroglycerin pills permanently around his neck, like a soap on a rope that I would wear if I went to prison. I guess the takeaway is the mafia has long arms and longer memories. I mean,
that's who he went after, was the Italian mob.
Even though he said he didn't.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you have to say you didn't.
Right.
Right.
I lived longer than I thought. I would have thought that in earlier prison stays, this would have happened.
They were just waiting for him. They were cooking up their marinara sauce in their cell.
Shaving the garlic.
Just waiting.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the New York Post is reporting that former mafia hitman, a bloke by the name of Fotios Freddy Gies, is one of the top suspects in this. And when Gies' attorney was talked about, they said, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. He hated rats.
What happens if you're already in prison and you are convicted of this crime?
Exactly.
What happened?
They just solitary? I don't know.
Yeah, it's solitary and,
they take away your fennel sausage or something. I don't know.
Right.
So that was...
Yeah, there'd be further discipline, I guess.
There is a small story today in the Washington
Post.
Weird,
though, the notion of an 89-year-old man being beaten to death in prison.
Yeah.
You know, it's just sort of incongruous.
It sends a message,
He was
though.
A bad dude.
Yeah.
Very bad dude.
Killed a lot of people.
Yeah. Yes, he did.
He did. There's movies. The Johnny Depp movie was about him. There's all sorts of stuff.
We talked about that before the show.
Genius.
It really underdelivered.
It wasn't
as a
very
movie.
Good.
It could have been a brilliant movie.
Wasn't very good.
Yeah. And you talked about it the first time you saw it. The makeup on Johnny Depp
ridiculous.
Made you just say,
it's ludicrous.
I can't buy into this.
Clown ludicrous. Show, bro.
Yeah.
Looked ludicrous. Yeah. I just want to commend a small story in the Washington Post today about Jason Whitlock, who I love, who apparently made an appearance in Washington yesterday. I was unaware of this. And talked to a group of people, and I love Jason Whitlock, okay? I'm sorry he didn't call. I'm sorry he didn't come over to PTI. I love Jason Whitlock. And now we can get to the Wizards, who still stink. They're 1-6 now, which is tied for the worst record in the NBA. They lost last night in Memphis. They're on a bad road trip. It's a long...
It's a tough trip.
Brutal road trip at the beginning of the season. It's very tough. They won the first game of the road trip in Portland, which was a surprise, and lost the next four, I guess. They're waiting for Dwight Howard, whose can is resting because it hurts.
he is
a pain in the can to some and has a pain in his own can. They play no defense, and I'm sure their coach at some point, I don't even read the quotes anymore. I'm sure their coach at some point, Scott Brooks, said this is unacceptable.
Well, it can't happen again.
And yet the next day that they play, he'll put out the same starting lineup. Uh-huh. And he'll put out the same rotation players.
See if this works.
And everybody will play the same amount of minutes. Because it's not really unacceptable. It's just the way they are. I think when Dwight Howard gets there, they'll be fine. I mean, I think they'll be a playoff team, and I think they'll be fine. But they are starting off terribly. Your thoughts on this?
Well, my thoughts, I would like to thank Michael Hodson on Twitter, who sent me a link to the Ringer's piece Which I don't know if you've seen on the Wizards. I forget who wrote it, but it was essentially how the Wizards are the NBA's must-see soap opera. And they are so dysfunctional, and it's so deeply rooted. And yes, perhaps they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think you're suggesting they would be good.
No.
But they will never be any good because it's a complete mess. And the blame, in the piece anyway, is placed pretty squarely at the feet of Beal, Wall, and Porter, and that sort of triumvirate of dysfunction, as well as the head coach, Scott Brooks. It's a mess.
Wall
it's a,
and
it's
Beal
a broken record.
Talk about how they can't stand teammates, who all they care about is getting their own shots.
Right.
And meanwhile, they shoot
And then two nights later, Wall goes out like he did last night with 7 assists and 9 turnovers or whatever it was, and conscientious objection on defense down the stretch. And they just, it's the same. It is literally the same thing we have seen for years.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yeah.
They are Groundhog Day. And I have read so often people in this town bleating, B-L-E-A-T-I-N-G, that we're wasting John Wall's best years. No, you're not wasting them.
He's wasting ours.
Tony, I'm surprised that you think Dwight Howard would have that profound an effect when he returns.
I think he had good numbers last year.
Well, he'll help them defensively.
Sure. Yeah, he's a presence. Yeah,
yeah.
I don't think he's great.
But look at the weight of what's happening right now versus the arrival of one player. Well, I'm surprised that you think he could make that.
1 month into his tenure as an active player, everyone on the team will hate him. Because that's happened everywhere else he's ever played.
Each other.
Yeah, and they hate each other. So,
like the only real question is, will they go 8-13? You know, to get to nine and twenty.
No, they'll surpass 9-20. I think they'll I think they'll get to nine.
I mean,
they presently,
granted, it's 7 games in, but they presently have the worst. They're tied with the Cavaliers for the worst record in the
NBA. How does this coach make so much money?
Don't know. $7 million a year.
Just the $7 million a year, right?
Yeah. Don't know.
And some say he's not at all on the hot seat. Others say he's the next to go.
Why is he on the hot? I mean, I don't know why he would be on the hot seat.
Well, because they're performing terribly.
Leontis is a patient man.
Yeah,
with general managers and coaches.
He really is.
Yeah.
I think, Scott, why do you want to pay him off? Yeah. Why do you want to pay him off not to be here?
Yeah, I don't. I'm just saying.
I think that anybody with any sense would say it is unthinkable to trade Wall and or Beal, but you have to do it. You're going to have to do it to see what you can get because this doesn't work.
It's like when he wanted to trade Ovechkin.
A lot of people want to trade Ovechkin, and then Ovechkin won a title, and Ovechkin changed. If we see Wall and Beal change in the way they play the game, if John Wall starts to try to make everybody else better, yeah.
And look like a captain, yeah.
Can't the Wizards trade for somebody like LeBron or Steph Curry?
They can get LeBron.
Can they make that happen?
I believe they can get LeBron.
And this was the year where there was a path through the East.
That's because LeBron was no longer in the East.
It's going to be a fun show.
By the way, are you surprised that Milwaukee is off to this great start?
I don't even know who's on their team except
Giannis.
I don't know either, but that's sort of the first place, 7-1 or something like that.
It's early. 82 games. It's early. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with email and a jingle. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
We all want to know about from where we come. And how does DNA affect my weight? And I wonder if I really like licorice. I'm just certain my people all came from Norway. Expectoration. Expectoration. Just spit in a tube. So nauseating.
Kirsten Onstad, and she writes, "The great John Fitzpatrick tells you he wrote a jingle for you to sing. You sing it, even if it is about spit." And you do. Let me thank Jeff Ma, our predictive expert. Wish him luck today. Let me thank Barry Sverluga. He killed Kevin. Yeah. We got to bring Kevin on. I'd also like to thank our sponsors from today. Brooklinen, Lowe's, First Leaf Wine. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Let me also say that we are having Halloween here today at 6 o'clock or so. For the kids, we have face painting, we have candy, we have hot chocolate, we have spiked cider for adults. I will be here from about 6:15 to 7 or so.
6:15 to 6:20?
No, till about 7. I mean, I'll come around. I'll stay and say hello if anybody
it's
wants
to. It's a great time to toilet paper your house.
If anybody wants to say hello to me, and I'm leaving the house with the dog. And the dog will be
Jesse's
at the house. Jesse will be giving out candy.
Jesse in charge. The old Scape Osher.
A haiku from Shad. Terrapin culture. It's not considered toxic, but it can kill you. Kevin in Northeast. Can't get to 8-20 by not being 1-7 first. 9-20 is what we're looking for. Yes. Viva la curse of Les Boulets. From Ryan Barwick in Greensboro, North Carolina. This Saturday, I was in the bookstore to pick out a book to read to my daughter's first grade class this coming Tuesday, October 30th. So that was yesterday. Her and I were standing in front of the Halloween book display deciding which book to buy. Me, how about It's the Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown? You'll love it. Her, this one the class would really like. And she points at a book called Creepy Pair of Underwear. Me, but this Charlie Brown book is really fun. No, Dad, this one. And he says, look, when you get older, I'll let you do the underpants read. That's pretty funny. Sylvester Bush, I was overjoyed when you read my email earlier this week. I noticed that mine was the last one read on the show that day. After sycophantically hearing it for the 12th time or so, I noticed that my email was the only one that made Jeannie laugh. That means I was successful in the final frame. As such, I'm starting to feel like I'm the show's closer. I'm no fan of violence, but as the closer, do I have the right to choke out Kevin Sheehan? If not, you could certainly interest me in something in a nice solicitor
size. I am a tough sell, it's true.
From Evan in Austin, Texas, I'm in need of some advice. My second child, a masculine child, has reached the age of 4. While he has many fine qualities and brings much joy to our family, in the past year he has submitted to our home to various toilet crimes and misdemeanors, such that one cannot walk past our hall bathroom without being subjected to a pungent odor. This has caused much distress in our house, particularly for the one to whom I'm related by marriage. This past weekend, in an effort to redeem our water closet, my wife requested that we get a new toilet seat. Being inclined to make such tasks do-it-yourself, I found myself reaching behind the toilet bowl to remove the afflicted seat. The hard-to-reach bolts proved a challenge for my small set of wrenches and pliers, and I was left thinking, there must be a better way. Dr. Tony is a man of knowledge. Is there anything that you could recommend for this task? Perhaps some tool that is corrosion-resistant for easy cleaning. Lowe's. Go to Lowe's, the home of craftsmen.
That's right.
Get that gunmetal finish.
From Neil in Rockville, in light of how effective they have been to prevent copper from doing what Jason has identified as bad things, have you considered doggy downers and a head cone to help stop Nigel from doing bad things?
That's possible.
This is from Bono. I am Bono. Use my music. Unless Saliza is there, of course. Eat it, Saliza.
That sounds like permission.
From Atanya Osama in Chicago. I haven't written you in a while, but rest assured that I've been listening. You keep asking everyone in your studio how a $46,000 tab gets run up by an NFL secondary. Why don't you ask Vince Young? Here are the highlights. Throwing himself a $300,000 birthday party during a lockout. A $15,000 tab at, wait for it, the Cheesecake Factory. Do you know how many orders of orange chicken that is, Tony? It's the most. A $6,000 tab at TGI Fridays. Wow. Imagine what Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs could have done with all those potato skins. Multiple rounds of $600 shots of Louis XIII at Morton's in downtown Nashville after every home game. There better be blood from Louis XIII himself in each bottle at those prices. No wonder his memoirs only go to chapter 11. This is a brilliant takedown of Vince Young. From Dave Wales in Madison, Alabama, future home of the Rocket City Trash Pandas. On Monday's show, Tony mentioned he was having a root canal on Friday. For some reason, I immediately thought of Tony's quip commentary. Complaints about having to brush for 2 minutes and the fact that a toothbrush never needed replacing. I'm not sure what made that memory pop into my head. I'll leave it to Gary to decipher any possible connection. If you're out on your bike time, everyone, as always, do wear white.
What a waste of time.
And thank you for coming.
God.
Thank you.
There's a place that is dark. Once the streets were lit with candles,
You thought hell was the hardest place around. Welcome to a hazard town. Streets were alive. Yeah, these pages once told the story. Now no one ever comes around, but I still call it home right here in Hazard Town. Step up, get down right here in Hazard Town. We can feel all your needs. Let go. Torn. Now the spiders are king. Abandoned souls are lost but never found. And I still call it home right here in Hazard Town. Step up, get down right here in Hazard Town. We can feel all your needs. Let go.
Tune, but through these bloodshot, weary eyes, it's the clearest I see you. This reckless life I've been living has pushed me to the limit. But I'll take another drink, yeah, maybe just so I can start to think that you and whiskey bring out the best in me. I feel sometimes I chase a ghost, but I realize now it's just heartache's joke. So I'll get a little tipsy and hope that you think of me. Maybe just make believe. Yeah, you and whiskey. 'Cause you and whiskey bring out the best in me. Sometimes I chase a ghost, but I realize now it's just heartache's joke. So I'll get a little tipsy.